It is now? All right. So anyway, sometimes you get messed up in what you say, and sometimes people are sitting out there saying, turn your thing on and trying to talk. I think I made all the announcements I needed to this morning. If you want Vacation Bible School CDs, sign up on the yellow folder back there. And we'll not be having visitation tomorrow night or next Monday night. So I wanted to mention that. Also, Jackson Love has lost his Bible. He has a Bible about this size, and I think it's got blue on it. Yeah, it's Jackson Austin. One of them Jacksons lost their Bible, and it's blue. If you find an extra Bible laying around, see, and I think it was Vacation Bible School's the last time they saw it. So I told him I'd mention it to the church. But is his got blue and orange on it, or that's your Jackson's? It's just black. Blue and black or blue and gray. It's funny colored. All right. We got a missing Bible. So if anybody sees that, let them know. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2 we'll read tonight. This other Jackson over here, Abigail's Jackson, he's got to drive back to Raleigh, and he's debating going or coming to church tonight. I said, if you come on, I'll get done as soon as we can. So you come to church and then drive to Raleigh. So he came on. So I'll try to honor that. But I appreciate him coming. You know, that's a long ways to leave and drive after church. So let's pray for him as he travels back and forth, that the Lord would keep him safe. But we're going to read tonight out of the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And we'll read those verses and then go to the Lord in prayer. And I'll give you the message the Lord laid on my heart for tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14 through verse number 16. The Bible said, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for letting us be here tonight and all the many blessings. It's good to see each and every one out this evening. Lord, we're thankful for the cool day and just the beauty of it and being able to be out in the Lord's house tonight. Lord, we're thankful for that. I pray and ask that you would be with our many special objects of prayer that we have. I pray you'd bless the message tonight and help me as I stand to preach. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to preach in the right spirit and, Lord, with the right attitude, and, Lord, that it would be a blessing and a help to thy people. Lord, I just thank you for your blessings. I thank you for this church. And I pray that, Lord, you just help tonight in the service. Speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray for our nation. We have a heavy heart tonight for our country, for many things that are going on, and Lord, many things that are going on are just directly against what the Word of God says. So help us, Lord, to have the right biblical outlook and to Lord, be encouraged even in a day that is many times discouraging. So Lord, I pray you'd help tonight and use us for your honor and your glory. Be with those that are not here tonight. I know Brother Kyle is preaching, Brother Jason preaching. God, I pray you bless them in a special way. Brother Bill, Lord, Sister Sharon, all those that are preaching, those that are working, couldn't be here. Lord, we pray for them. God, we ask for your help just now. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's read verse number 15 one more time. We'll start there. The Bible says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And I began to think about what I would preach on tonight, about last Thursday morning. I began to think about it, pray about it. I had some thoughts on my mind, but later on in the day, I believe it was Thursday or Friday, one of those, whatever day it was, that the Supreme Court decision came out. I knew it was at the end of this month, but being out of town, I didn't get the newspaper, and I just sort of lost track that that was supposed to happen last week. But Kim, she was reading headlines, and she said, "Did you hear the Supreme Court made their decision?" I could tell by the way she said it that it wasn't good. But when I first heard that, when the Supreme Court made their decision or came out with their decision on concerning marriage in our land, the first emotion that I felt was just sadness. Just an extreme sadness come over my soul, and a darkness concerning the whole situation, the whole scenario. And I'm sure there's many churches, many pastors have address that and talked about it today, but this, the whole thing, just makes me sad in my heart. It's sad from a moral standpoint. It's sad how it will affect our society and our children, and our children will grow up in a country that is very different from the nation that I grew up in, that many of you grew up in. There will be no going back from this point. And what once upon a time was looked upon as shocking, our children, they'll grow up in a nation that is like Europe, and will think nothing of all kinds of different scenarios of children growing up in. They won't grow up like we grew up. And so morally, it's sad. From a legal standpoint, it's sad. It is it's absurd. It's a joke that the Supreme Court would, the highest court in the land, that some of them could sit with a straight face and even make a case that the Constitution says anything one way or another about marriage. It does not. Legally speaking, it says nothing about it. It ought to be in the hands of the states. And so that's not, and all we have here is just people doing what they want to do. Not their job, their responsibility is to interpret the law and the Constitution together, but they've just said, forget about that, forget about the law, forget about the Constitution. We're just going to do what we want to do. And that's what this is. That Constitution has nothing to do with marriage or one way or the other. It says not a word in it. I've read the whole thing. And so it's just absurd that the highest court in the land would pretend that the Constitution allowed this or said anything about it. From a legal standpoint, it's just a very sad thing. If we are a nation built upon laws, and the highest court in the land just overruns and does what they want to, it's a sad thing for our nation. Amen. As far as pretending to be a nation of laws, I saw a cartoon that sort of summed it all up. It said, at the top it said, "This is what the media says is happening." And in the first part of the cartoon, it had three men, and they had Bibles, and they were beating a poor boy down on the ground, and he was laying there obviously dead and the blood running out of him. It said, "This is what the media says is happening." Three men with Bibles, they'd beat somebody down and obviously killed them. Then in the second frame, it said, "This is what is actually happening." And it had three men, and they had rainbow-colored ties and books, and they were beating somebody down on the ground, and they had killed them. And it's not the Christians that are being mean, and, well, I say for the most part, but there's a lot of hatred, and there's going to be persecution. That's what it'll end up being. Christians and churches will be persecuted over this. And so that's the first thing I thought of. The whole thing makes me sad. And the next thought I thought about was, what's next? What are we going to do next? Where do we go from here? What are we supposed to do as God's people now? And I thought about this passage in the Bible in Philippians chapter number 2. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. I want to preach on this subject, what next? What do we do next? Where do we go from here as Christian people? What next? And I want to point some things out. This passage of Scripture speaks to us as God's people where we are right now in our nation. And there's some lessons here I want to point out, or some things I want to point out that the Word of God speaks to us about. Number one, let me point out tonight, there is our refrain. Now, to refrain from something means to hold back from something. And we see in verse number 14 that the Bible says this: do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. It's a good time to be reminded that we need to watch how we respond to what's going on in the world. Because the world is watching and listening to the things we say and looking for an opportunity to jump on something we might say. We need to be very careful about what we say. We need to make sure that the first thing we do is to refrain. He said there in verse number 14, notice what it says, do all things. You ought to underline that. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. The worst thing right now in our nation that Christians can do is to react and retaliate with murmurings and disputings. Now, I'm not saying don't speak the truth, but I'm saying the Bible says that we're to do all things without murmurings and disputings. And this murmurings and disputings is a bad testimony on God's people. Now, murmurings and disputings is this: it is grumbling, it is complaining, it is whining. That's what murmurings is in the Bible. The children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter number 33, I believe it is, God said that they were a generation of murmurers. And they complained about everything the Lord did. They threw it back on Moses. Do you remember that? They were murmurers, which means they complained about everything. You know, God's people have prayed and prayed and preached and preached. Not everybody, but I know there's a great deal of people in America that still believe the Bible. And there are those that preach God's truth. And if God would have wanted to, God could have made the outcome differently. I believe that with all my heart. God can intervene over in Acts chapter number 12, King Herod, he killed James and God killed the king. The Lord can do what? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. God took King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the highest power in the whole wide world at that time, and God took his mind away to where he went out into the field and eat grass like the ox for 7 years. God can do what he wants to. And in the big picture tonight, we have to realize that in spite of what it looks like, the Lord is still in control. But when we murmur and complain and whine about how things are, isn't that sort of saying, isn't that sort of looking like that we don't believe God's got things under control? When our children murmur and whine and complain, as parents, we cannot stand that, or I can't. Well, I can't stand whining. I can't stand grumbling. I can't stand complaining about things. Hey, thank the Lord feels about it when that's what God's people do. The Lord is in control. Murmurings and disputings. Disputings means to be in a strife or contest of words. To be in a controversy of words. To be arguing all the time. We need to watch how we act and react about this thing, because the world's watching. And arguing and disputing and all these things. And I've seen some terrible statements that people have made. They're just a bad testimony from coming from some of God's people. Need to be careful. I thought about this afternoon. When you are standing on the truth, you don't have to whine and complain about it. The truth will stand. Just stand there. When you argue and complain and whine and dispute and argue, that's what the world does. We don't have to take that stance because God's word is the truth. You just have to stand on the truth. You don't have to whine about it. You don't have to complain. I've had people, they want to debate. They want to argue things. When you're right, you don't have to argue. This is what God's word says. It's not my opinion, it's the Lord's opinion. Amen. Some of the worst things we can do is just by what we say and the attitude we have. We have to watch our attitude before the world. We have to watch our words. We have to watch our statements, that we do not exhibit before the world an attitude of a sore loser because things didn't go the way we'd prayed. We certainly don't want to present before the world that we have a defeatist attitude, that somehow God is dead and He didn't intervene or answer our prayers. That is not the case whatsoever. God's on the throne tonight. He's all powerful. The Lord could do what He wanted to do. God could give revival. The Lord and the Lord alone can turn our nation back. But it doesn't help anything for us to walk about and complain and whine and grumble and argue with people and things like that. So what do we do first of all? What now? Number one, our refrain. Number two, our reflection. Look at verse number 15. Look what the Bible says. Paul was writing to the Philippians. And he said to number one, do all things without. Then he said, verse 15, that ye may be. What he was saying, don't do this so you can do this. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, we're going to look at some things in verse number 15. Our reflection, that ye may be. And the goal is in the end of verse number 15, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's look at verse 15. He said that ye may be blameless. Now, blameless, it means this. It means irreproachable. To be blameless does not mean to be perfect. We're not perfect. I hope we don't present before the world that we think that we're perfect. Or that we think that we are, as you get accused of sometimes, if you preach the truth, being holier than thou. I don't think I'm holier than anybody. In fact, I realize what the Bible says. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. The Bible said that Jesus said, why call me good? He said, there's none good but the Father. There's only one that's good. There's only one that's righteous. Any righteousness that we have is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us His righteousness. It's the only way you and I could be saved. We're certainly not saved because of our righteousness, and we're certainly not perfect as far as being sinlessly perfect. We do not claim that tonight. But we are to be blameless, which means to be irreproachable, which means this: people will make an accusation about you, but don't let it stick. Let it be a false accusation. We will never stop. You will never stop people talking about Christians and blaming them and saying things about them. But in your life, in my life, I want to live a life that is blameless, which means if somebody says something about me, I can't stop that. But it shouldn't be true. That's what it means to be blameless. Do not go out here and run your mouth and give people ammunition to say that you are bigoted. That's what people say about Christians. Well, if you don't agree with homosexual marriage, you're a bigot. That doesn't make you a bigot. People all throughout America don't agree on the same things. But if you don't agree with the same thing I agree with, that doesn't make you a bigot, and it doesn't make me a bigot. What makes you that way is your actions, your attitude. That's what makes people bigoted, whatever they mean when they call people that. But people are going to say that. Don't give them ammunition to make it stick. Don't give them ammunition to say, well, you're hateful and you hate people. Good night. We don't hate people. If we hate people because they're lost, there's something wrong with us. If it wasn't for the grace of God, any one of us could be in any kind of condition tonight. We don't hate people. We all love people. We all love to see people walk through the church doors. Brother Raymond has said this before, and I've read this illustration before. The church ought to be a life-saving station. Broken lives come in and get help and get changed for the honor and the glory of God. We don't hate people. We all love people. Don't act like you hate people. Don't give them ammunition to say that you're hateful. Don't give them ammunition to say that you're disrespectful of people. We ought to be an exemplary in how we treat others. We ought to have the best manners when we're talking about things going on in the world. We don't want to get the reputation of being hateful, being disrespectful. Bible says that you're to be blameless and that you're to be harmless. Be blameless and harmless is what the Bible says. That word harmless is a very interesting word. In the Greek language, it means this. It means to be unmixed. That's an interesting word. What's it mean to be unmixed? It means be pure. Be real. Be genuine in what you are. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be a compromiser. That's not what we're saying. It says to be blameless and to be harmless. I want to be real. What kind of Christian do you want to be? I want to be real. What's the Bible say? That's what I believe. And how long have you got for me to show you what it says? Be real about what the Bible says. That's what it means. Don't be a fake. Don't be a phony is what it means. Be harmless. Be blameless. Be harmless. What does this mean as far as our church? What does this mean, this ruling that has come down from the Supreme Court as far as being a law of the land? What's it mean, preacher? What next? Well, I'll tell you what it means. Doesn't mean nothing. Isn't that real good English? What's it mean? It means nothing. Doesn't change a thing. God's word is the same. I love what Brother John was saying and preaching about this morning. Hebrews 13 and 7. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. What's it mean? Doesn't mean nothing as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't change a thing as far as what God's Word says about it. If a Supreme Court comes down and says that sin is no longer sin, that doesn't make it not sin. Sin is sin. It's the same. If it was sin in the Old Testament, and it's sin in the New Testament, and it's sin in 2015, doesn't matter what you're talking about. There's a lot of things that are sin, but the Bible says to be harmless. What's wrong before is still wrong. And we're still have the same message and the same convictions and the same stance as we had before. Now that's being real. Now there's a lot of Christians. The devil must not like this because he's trying to take my voice. But there's a lot of Christians out here that are mixed. And whatever is going in the world, that's the way that they go. Amen. There's more harm in that than being harmless. Be harmless. Be the same. Be unmixed. This is the same as you find in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Just be real. Just be pure. Our reflection. We're to be blameless. We're to be harmless. Look what the Bible says. "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." Be the sons of God without rebuke. We are to be Christians. And Christians reflect the sun, the S-O-N. We're to shine. Without rebuke means this, that the world should not be able to point at us and say, "Yeah, you say you're Christians and you say this is wrong, but what about you doing this?" You ever heard that? "What about you doing this? Don't judge me. You're doing this. That's wrong. You say you follow Jesus, but you're doing this and you're telling me not to live this way, but you live this way." Boy, it's a shame when the world can come along and we say we're the sons of God and the world points a finger and says, "Yeah, but you're doing this." That's the world rebuking the church. And the world has a legitimate gripe against modern Christianity. Because there's a lot of people out here that are talking about God and talking about Jesus and talking about being saved, but they're also cussing like a sailor. Amen. Hey, if you're supposed to be saved, why are you talking like that? I'm so tired of Christians. I'm so tired of people that are talking about being a Christian one day and then they're talking the next day about going out and drinking wine and drinking beer and going to party here and going to do this. Amen. That's a mixed signal. Amen. The world can look and say, "Hey, if you claim to be saved, why are you doing this?" The Bible says to be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. If the world can come along and look at the church and say, "You ought not to be doing this," they've got a legitimate gripe. And the Bible says, don't do that. Don't give the world an opportunity to rebuke you. That's what he's saying. Be blameless, the sons of God. Be blameless, be harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That doesn't mean just the way you talk. That means the way you walk. that we are to be holy, that we are to be different than the world. And now is our time. Now this is a dark, dark time. But now is our time to shine. That's what it says. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, he said, I am the light of the world. But he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, to the disciples, he said, ye are the light of the world. Now the only light that you and I have is the light of the Son of God, the light of the Word of God. And we are to be a reflection of the Son of God. In a dark world, we're to shine. What are we going to do? We better take this opportunity to shine. The darker it is, the more that just a little light shows up and shines. And it's very dark. We're to be a reflection. Number one, our refrain. Number two, our reflection. Number three, our reality. Fact of the matter is, America is not a Christian nation anymore. It was. It was established by people that at least believed the Bible was the Word of God. And believe the Ten Commandments ought to be the basis for our law system. That's our heritage. But our nation does not act like a Christian nation. We're living in a post-Christian nation. Used to be. Britain's gone the same way. Used to be Christianity was held in high esteem. No longer. That's the way it is in America. That's the reality of it. But look what, we are not the first generation of Christians to live in a nation that was totally, completely against God. Amen. This wasn't written to us as far as being in America, but it sure is applicable to today. Look what he said. You couldn't phrase this any better. He said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That is America to a T. We are living in a crooked and perverse nation. Now, look what it says exactly. It says in the midst of. That word midst, what do you guess it means? It means in the middle. We are right smack dab in the middle. And there's nowhere else to go. Our forefathers fled to America. There's no new frontier to go to. Amen. We are right in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. That word crooked there, it means this. It means warped. The thing's not warped. It means warped, winding in moral conduct. We are all over the place in our country. Morally, what used to be right and good is now, according to them, wrong. And bad. It used to be good to be patriotic. Now to be patriotic, you're almost looked upon as an enemy of the state. It used to be held in high esteem. Mother, father, children, home, Bible, prayer. Look at it now. Just about get you hauled off to court. Get your children taken away from you. Raise them by the Bible. I mean, it's so crooked. It's so turned upside down. Morally speaking. Politically speaking. Trust any of that crowd? I don't. Is there anybody you can really trust? Is there anybody you can send a contribution to? I wouldn't send a dime. To anybody I can think of. It's just so crooked. We're living in a day of much deceit and crookedness. We're just crooked. He said in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. It doesn't say generation, it says nation. It's a crooked and perverse generation, but the Bible says nation. We're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse. The word perverse there is interesting. It means to be distorted. It is figurative of to misinterpret. Isn't that interesting? If you know anything about the Supreme Court ruling, perverse means to misinterpret. To take something in what it says and make it say something it does not say. That's perverting something. That's to misinterpret. That's what that word perverse means. Webster's dictionary says this. It means literally to be turned aside from the right. Is that not where we are in America? And this hadn't just happened in the past couple of years. Our nation has been turning away from God. 50s, 60s, really in the 60s. This attitude of being a rebel, 50s, 60s, Elvis Presley, James Dean, the Beatles, the long hair, the hippie movement, the marijuana, the all that free love and all that stuff. Amen. Our nation's been turning away, turning away. Turning away. Do you know what that word? That word perverse, it means to be obstinate in the wrong. That means to be wrong and to be dogmatic about it. Don't tell me. Is that not where our nation is? To be prideful in being wrong. That's what that word perverse means. That is where we are as a nation tonight. We are crooked. We are perverse. We are stubborn. That's what it means. It's perverted to say that the Constitution has anything to say about marriage. It doesn't. But they've twisted it around to make something that is not there to be there. And it's not. Perverting it. It's perverted to say that some deranged young man goes into a church and kills a bunch of people. It's perverting the thing to say that that has anything to do with the Confederate flag. See, that's how we are in America. That's got nothing to do with that. But instead of dealing with that problem, they take that and try to divide the whole nation. That's got nothing to do with what happened down there. And it's perverted to try to make it have something to do. That boy didn't have nothing to do with the Confederate flag. See, stuff like that, continually in our nation, over and over, and making people in America hate one another when they ought not to be hating one another. Boy didn't have nothing to do with that. Boy had problems. He wasn't a white supremacist. He wasn't waving a Confederate flag when he went. That's got nothing to do with that. But every time you turn around in our nation, it's crookedness. It's perverting something, and we're right in the middle of that. That's where we are. That's the reality of the world we now live in. But then we go on, we see our responsibility, number four. He said, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, verse 16, holding forth the word of life. That is our responsibility. What do we do now? We just do what we've been doing all along. That's our responsibility. The main thing has to remain the main thing. That's a very beautiful picture. Holding forth the word of life. Now, what's involved in all that? Bibles, tracts, prayer, witnessing, preaching, radio, church, all of that. But when you're holding forth something, you are actually offering it. Holding forth the word of life. This word's got life in it. And we're to hold it out there as an offer before. If we stop preaching, if we stop teaching, there's no word of life. See, it's our responsibility to shine as lights in the world. To shine in such a manner that the world doesn't look at us and say, well, you say this, but you're doing this. We're to be a true light. We're to hold forth the word of life. We have a responsibility to do that. And one of the reasons why we have a responsibility to do that in this dark day is because of this. At the end of the day, sin, no matter what it is, no matter if we're talking about homosexuality, fornication, drunkenness, smoking marijuana, that'll come down the road next. Drug use, all this stuff, no matter what you're talking about, at the end of the day, it's still empty. And people can go out here and they can say, boy, now I can do what I've always wanted to do. But at the end of the day, that won't make them happy. They'll still have that empty hole in their heart that only one thing can fill, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When they go down to the doctor and find out the bad news that they've only got a little while to live upon this earth, men and women, no matter who they are, they're still going to wonder what's going to happen to me when I die. Amen. Holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. I loved him telling about the lady that had cancer. And they said, come on the house and tell us about the Lord. And the preacher went and they got saved. Wasn't that a blessing? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're a millionaire, if you're going to die and lose your own soul, and somebody's got to be holding forth the word of life. Life. That's what we've got to offer. That's pretty good. At the end of the day, sin does not make you happy. I know what the Bible said over in the book of Hebrews. Moses said there's pleasure in sin for a season. Boy, doesn't a season go by quick? Doesn't that first, boy, everybody that ends up a drunkard, they started out loving that thing, but they end up hating it, but they can't let it go. That little season of pleasure passes pretty quickly. It's the same thing with everything else. There's got to be somebody in the world holding forth the word of life. That's the word of God. That's what the Lord Jesus is offering to a world that's rejected him. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a pretty good offer. It's our responsibility. What are we going to do next? Going to keep doing what we've been doing. And then one last thing I'll show you in verse 16. There's our rejoicing. He said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He said, church, hang in there. Boy, I tell you, as a pastor, what is more discouraging than anything else is somebody that was running the race and running good, that gets out here and gets all messed up, and you feel like everything you ever done or said or preached is just all in vain. Paul said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. When the Lord comes, it's going to be worth it. Hold forth the word of life, that there may be our rejoicing in the end. As I was studying about this subject, and I seen that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, I thought about that song we sing sometimes. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. It'll be worth it all one of these days. So run that you may obtain. Hold forth the word of life. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Be blameless. Be harmless. Be real in what we're doing. And one day, praise the Lord, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Paul goes on down in verse 17, says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. He knew that he might be persecuted for what he is preaching. He knew it'd be worth it all. He knew that'd be a rejoicing day. Seems awful black right now. Seems awful dark. We was coming home yesterday. We had about a 6-hour trip, and they said it's going to be thunderstorms, lightning, extreme rain, all this kind of stuff, and it sure was. About 5 different times, it got dark. It rained so hard on us several times that we had to slow down to about 25 miles an hour. Windshield wipers going just as hard as they could go. And I just kept thinking, and Kim said one time as a bunch of people pulled off the road, and she said, I'm with them. But we just kept on heading this way. Kept on heading this way. I kept thinking to myself, we're almost home. We're just going to stay the course. It may get real slow. And it may look real dark and real dangerous. And 2 or 3 different times, the closer we got to home, I told Kim, I said, we was coming into Wilkesboro and it got real dark again. Started raining real hard again. I told her, I said, that'll be the last time we see the sun. And the sun would come out. And then it happened again. And it'd come out. And I told her, I said, that'll be the last time we'll see the sun till we get home. And it'd rain real hard and we'd get slow. And I put my blinkers on and just kept going and just kept going. And after a little while, you know what happened? Clear off, sun had come out again. I said, praise the Lord. I like traveling like this a whole lot better. We may look at what's happened in our nation in the past week, and it may seem awful dark, and we may see that'll be the last time we'll see the sun. It won't be the last time. God's good. There'll be good days. There'll be storms. It may seem like that we're going to have to pull off and just stop, but I say, well, just stay the course. We're almost home. It won't be long. Just keep on keeping on in the storm. Don't stop. Don't pull off. Don't quit beside the road. Even if we go just a little bit. And you don't know, the sun might clear off and we have some good days again. I've read all kinds of things. People said, America, stick a fork in her. She's done. Well, she might be. But today was a pretty good day. Praise the Lord for that. Heard about some people getting saved different places around the county. You know what I say about that? Praise the Lord. God's good. I'm expecting this any day. There'll be some come walking. There'll be some getting saved around here at Mount Lebanon. Be a good day. We'll just keep on holding forth the word of life. Evidently, God's not quit saving people because of what the Supreme Court done. They still 10 or 15 righteous in the land. God told Abraham, he said, if there's 10, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Started out with 50. And Abraham must have thought it's pretty bad down there. He kept saying, well, what if there's just 40? What if there's 30? What if there's 20? God said, if there's that many, I'll spare it. There's at least that many in America. There'll be some good days, and one of these days, the sun will really come out. And the trump of God will sound, we'll go home and leave all this behind, and it'll be a day of rejoicing for those that just kept on holding forth the word of life. What are we going to do next? We're just going to keep on keeping on, and it'll be all right. And if America's done, well, she's done. God's still good. God's still saving. We'll still try to serve Him and do our best. And maybe even win some of these people along the way. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight. I appreciate your good attention. And I'm still sad.